Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It is hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. Good broadcasting about games. Flagtober 2022 is now just 4 days away. We kick off Tour Day DFW Saturday at 11 o'clock at Twin Peaks Burleson. Cannot wait to see all the Tolos down there. Burleson always shows up and shows out. You guys are amazing. The full schedule is at 105thefan.com/Flagtober. Our first proper Tour Day DFW since, you know, March 2020. We're hitting every Twin Peaks location in the Metroplex, though, and we are excited to see everybody. So please do come on by. Okay, I know it might sound crazy to some, but I do think people calling for Cooper Rush are going to get louder over the next, like, 3 weeks. Jerry Jones this morning with Sean and RJ saying 1 or 2 weeks. Jane Slater with a report that maybe Dak would want to come back now, but it's you know, maybe more likely it's the Rams game. Dak would love to get back out there, as all quarterbacks do. You'd expect nothing less from Dak, would you, Brian? That's what he does.
Yeah, no, that's he wants to be on the field. He wants to play with toughness. He knows, you know, he sees what's going on. It's not just about Cooper, but he's like seeing that, you know, the team is having some success, and he's like thinking, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of this, you know, this offensive line that's coming together, and Noah Brown and guys like that. I think any quarterback who's a starter wants to be a part of something like that.
If you're Dak at all, do you consider that Cooper Rush is going to play Bengals, Giants, Commanders, and then I'm going to step in against the Rams? It's not the same dynamics. This team hasn't beat good playoff teams. And I bet it's all confidence and, you know, I'm going to go out here and I need to be out there for my team and everything. But if I'm his agent or something, I'm like, okay, here's exactly what's going to happen, Dak. Cooper Rush is going to go 3-0, and then you're going to start two games against teams better than you, and you're going to end up 0-3. That's where we're headed. Cooper Rush is going to be 3-0 as a starter in 2022, and Dak Prescott's going to be 0-3. And how that is going to look to the fans is going to make this, I believe, the biggest quarterback controversy since maybe Troy Aikman?
Well, yeah, there's a situation with Troy Aikman. I mean, Steve Beuerlein came in and won. Like, Aikman got hurt. Beuerlein came in. I think I got this right. He came in and won a bunch of games. And Aikman started the playoff game, won the playoff games. And then the next week they played Detroit. And Aikman started, and they got beat.
And in retrospect,
yeah,
we know it was crazy, right?
Yeah.
And Dak's better than Rush. Aikman, Beuerlein, but how the games play out and the whole energy and momentum of it, I definitely think that's what we're heading for. I don't know if there's any way to avoid it. That's why I asked that question. Obviously, Dak's going to want to play. The team's going to want to put their starter back in there. But if Jerry wants a quarterback controversy, to me, all you have to do is start Dak against the Rams, and it's showing up before halftime.
Well, let me just push back here. How they lose, if it were to happen that way, I think how Dak plays would be the big thing in this. If they lose and Dak plays like he did in week one against Tampa, where it just looks horrific, then I'm with you 100%. Because it keeps that fuel where it's, all right, they're losing, and Dak Prescott still is playing poorly. So, all right, you were winning. Cooper Rush was not playing bad. Now we do have something to talk about here. If they lose and they're just losing to good teams, but Dak is not playing badly and Dak's not necessarily the reason you lost, I don't know that fans are necessarily going to be clamoring to get Cooper Rush back, because how do you know you're winning with Cooper Rush?
Yeah, I don't think he would be. I don't think he would be either. I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving Cowboys fans as much credit as you are. you know, for being able to see the appropriate context.
And maybe
of the
I'm giving them too much.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. There's, I mean, there
because
is.
Because the fan text is certainly the second you give them an opportunity to move on from Dak Prescott, they're taking that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to be, or most fans are going to be results oriented. Okay. I'm 3-0 with Rush, and every time I watch Dak this year, we're losing, and they probably won't put into context the opponent, what? Or maybe if Dak does play well in that Rams game and they lose, they'll just see the end result and be like, why wouldn't we play the winner? The discerning fans will be able to understand that, but I don't think most fans in general are overly discerning.
How about I tell you guys that Cooper Rush plays until he loses?
I could see that.
Yeah, because then, because you're probably looking at them losing. The assumption would be he loses then in that Rams game, and then the first game back for Dak would be that Eagles game on Sunday night.
I think it makes sense to give Dak a little extra time as well.
Yeah, that's, you know, to me, and again, I was with Nick Eatman, and we were doing this. We were talking on, you know, Cowboys Break about this, and he says, I am not taking a quarterback out that has a winning streak. I don't care that whoever. I'm not doing that to this team. And so I'm like, well, that's an interesting thought right there. So with all the discussion that we're having, when to play Dak or when not to play Dak, just play Cooper until he loses.
Do you think that the organization would consider that?
Hell no, they won't do that. But I mean, we haven't been right about I haven't been right about the offensive line, the wide receivers. I mean, I feel like, though, everything that I feel like is the right thing to do,
they can throw you a curveball.
They do something completely different. Now, I'm watching tape of Jason Peters play left tackle. I'm going, well, man, they worked Tyler Smith at left guard all year. What are they going to do? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to play Jason Peters at left guard.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. No. You know, wide receivers. Oh, maybe they need to go out and get one. Well, they're going to get Michael Gallup back. No, this Noah Brown guy. I mean, everything that you think that they're going to do or should do, play the best five, do this, do that. To me, I could see them riding the hot hand here. I mean, I said no, but if you're in that locker room, you're thinking, and you know, Stephen Jones will say, well, Dak's our leader.
Yeah, everybody loves Dak.
Everybody loves Dak.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Dak. And you're, but the underlying thing, if Dak Prescott goes out there against the Rams and loses, there's going to be people in that locker room like going, what the hell did we just do? You know, what are we doing here?
Okay, the 864 asks, who gives you a better shot versus the Rams, Dak or Coop? I'm convinced it would be Dak, but he's coming off of an injury and might still be rusty. You know what I'm saying? And Cooper Rush is in rhythm and riding a momentum wave. I'm not exactly sure how that goes. I think when Dak stopped running, it took a dynamic out of his toolkit that defenses have now neutralized who he is as a pocket player.
I thought he was gonna go back to being the old Dak, but he's only been one game and he was bad. You know, the offense was bad. And so
he had one running first down in that
game. Yeah, and that the option play with you know, Turbo.
Do that four or five times a game, and I think now you got the defense worried.
Yeah.
Now we can't just drop back into coverage because Dak's gonna take a first down on us.
I'll tell you what, the offense looks good, it's just not scoring. That's the thing.
I mean,
about
it's
right
not
now.
Like and Cooper it, Rush it, is. I don't think you're winning these games because of Cooper Rush.
He's not this, messing it up.
No, exactly.
I mean, he's right? not throwing into not, triple coverage.
When I'm saying that, I'm not trying. I think Cooper Rush has played very well. He's made some incredible throws when you needed them most. He's proven to be a very good backup quarterback, and he's doing exactly what you need a backup quarterback to do. But I don't see why you need to overrate that and act like, okay, now you've got a bona fide stud new franchise quarterback, right? Dak Prescott has won you a hell of a lot of games. Yeah. He won you 11 games last year. He took you to the playoffs. He won you a division title. For the first half of last season, he was playing like an MVP. And then all of a sudden, we just want to forget all of that. I get it. Week one against Tampa Bay was terrible. The conversation to me is a little bit shocking that we're even having.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you were doing radio in 2016, what were you saying about Tony Romo and Dak? What were you saying about that when Dak was winning all those games?
I would not have been surprised.
My gosh, Tony Romo, he's won a lot of games for us. He's done this.
I would not have been surprised if they went back to Tony Romo. But when you win 11 straight,
four games. They won four straight games. I mean, not 11. How about three? How about four?
If they had gone back to Tony Romo, I wouldn't have been upset.
Were you cheering for them to bring back Tony Romo as a Cowboy fan?
I was.
Wouldn't have been upset.
Okay. Well, so.
But I also felt at the time as a Romo fan
that
his body was failing him. And okay, I didn't think he was going to be able to stay healthy, even if they brought him back.
We just went around the NFL there to close out the 4 o'clock hour, and the down that I had talks about scoring being down. And why is scoring being down? Because defenses are much more focused on stopping your pass, right? And in these new dynamics where we're selling out to stop the pass, some quarterbacks have problem-solved that. Some quarterbacks have gotten markedly worse. And I would ask you, which one of those is Dak Prescott? Which trajectory is Dak on right now to solve the modern defense dilemma that we're selling out? I think with the modern defenses, you're looking at less time to make a decision. You're looking at much less opportunity for your receivers to be clearly open, okay? And now, so you're taking away less clearly open receivers. You're not running the ball. What are the things that Dak does better than Cooper Rush now? You know, and I don't know that it's that huge. And if I'm the organization, I got to find this out. Because if Dak's not that guy, we got to start looking for a new one.
Very true.
You know, and
but do you think that guy's Cooper?
No, it's not Cooper Rush.
Sure.
No.
Okay.
But if Cooper
and that's
Rush.
That's the difference between this situation and 2016.
Right. But it's a control for your experiment, is what it really is. It's going to tell the truth about Dak. Is Cooper Rush, with all of his limitations, wasn't even in the NFL in 2020, giving us a similar chance to win these games? With the modern, what Dak is post-injury against the modern defense. And if you run those controls inside your offices quietly and you meet on Mondays and talk about it, and it's similar, it would either get you really excited about Cooper Rush or really depressed about Dak Prescott. But, you know, I can't rule it out that Cooper Rush is going to put together similar performances when you look at the stat line and how this plays out. And it's the future of the most important position in sports. So, while you say, I can't believe we're having this conversation, I think the organization owes it to itself to really pursue finding out what the answers to these questions are, you know, honestly and objectively.
No,
and not assuming anything going in.
I do too, but I think the only way you're going to fairly answer that is by seeing Dak Prescott play football.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you're going to come to the conclusion. So it's you can't leave Cooper Rush in there because of that. And I do think the other thing in regards to adjusting to the NFL defenses and the way they're playing them now, yeah, some of that's on the quarterback, but I also think it's play callers have had to readjust. And Kellen Moore did not do that right up until probably the Bengals game last week. And then you saw it in a beautiful way last night. And so if Dak has a play caller now that is adjusted and is willing to play a game now that is not just drop back and just try and throw it on these two deep defenses, that's going to change it up for you. So I still think like the ceiling for this team is much higher if you have Dak Prescott playing quarterback and he's playing like himself. The problem is if you're getting, you just got to find out what Dak are we getting.
Yeah, because when has he been that guy?
When has he been
the guy that we think he could be?
He hasn't been that guy since Atlanta.
I put faith in it. Everything in from preseason and all that. It's like, listen, he's lost guys. It's okay. Year 7, everything's going to be better for him. You know, he's always going to work hard. He's always going to be prepared. You know, all the injuries are behind him. Man, that was terrifying what I saw that first night out though against Tampa Bay.
I agree. And if that's the Dak that we have moving forward, then that's not a Dak that anybody's going
to
want.
Absolutely. Then you need to move on. Yeah. But we need to find out if it is or it isn't.
Well, I just think we're heading for a hell of a quarterback controversy when he comes back against the Rams. Haven't played in a month. Here we go. I'm going to play one of the best teams in the NFC.
Go play Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey.
Right as Cooper Rush value is at its all-time high. And I don't know. It would be a coward's way out to say I don't want to play in that game. And we know Dak is the exact opposite of a coward. But it is going to get fascinating, and it's going to get much louder here as this season plays out. A little Cowboys Twitter here. Micah Parsons. I'm here to play. I'm here to be great. I could have a stomach virus. I could be pooping my pants. And I still want to play. Little restroom revelations in there for you.
There's a little Paul Pierce in all of us.
I don't want to be held back. I live to play the game. Me at 60 is better than most people at 100%. And I just want to play. Mike McCarthy gave him quite a compliment in his press conference last hour, saying, yeah, while he didn't have the big statistical day, he provided a lot of one-on-one opportunities for other players.
Amen, he did.
And it was great to see Tank be the benefactor of that after, you know, really for the last 4 years, him getting so much of the double coverage. Now he gets to feast. That's why it's so important to have multiple guys who can affect the pocket. Dan Rogers Monday night was the fourth time Tony Pollard has rushed for over 100 yards. Each time, he's had over 7 yards per carry, and each time the Cowboys have won. In fact, the Cowboys are now a perfect 12-0 when Pollard has more than 10 carries in a game. Just give him the ball more. Did the Cowboys win last night if Zeke gets those touches? I don't know.
I don't know.
Seems
I don't
like think he changed the game pretty good.
But if you look at what Pro Football Focus, they're what top five players. What Zeke was number four.
Zeke had a good game too. Pollard was number two.
Yeah. So I just the thing that I appreciate the most is they figured out how to get both of them going on the field.
Oh, it's an incredible combo.
It's one of those things where you're like, well, you know, we know Stephen Jones even said it today. You know, anytime we got to get him the ball in space, we got to throw him the ball. Yeah, okay, that's good. Keep doing that, but keep putting them out there. The fact that they no longer just say, okay, series three, it's yours, and go until it goes bad, you know, or go until it goes into a touchdown. You know, now that they're figured out how to get them both on the field at the same time, or even having him finish the game in the 4-minute drill. You know, that to me, there is nothing wrong with what they're doing right now with those two backs.
All right, we got to run. When we come back here, we will have the Expressway, 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content. Bobby Belt is going to join you coming up at 5:30, Cowboys Insider, LA Live about 5:40. So don't go anywhere, and we're back here on 105.3 The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Nation. Let's hit the Expressway. 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content and fellowship. Bob Belt. Bobby's coming up here in about 6-7 minutes. LA Live with Lucius Alexander is right around the corner as well. We will not break. We will not stop until the top. Every afternoon right here, we give you everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast afternoon. A couple of NBA headlines here. As the Mavericks open training camp, I know we're all very excited. I do think they're going to start hot and get us super fired up and engaged to what's going on. Mavs fans, you do not have to wait until the All-Star break to be interested this year. I think it's going to be amazing right out of the gates. Steve Nash, Nets coach, said, I did have a moment with KD last year, but that is now behind us. As you remember, huge tumultuous offseason. KD at one point said he didn't want to play if Nash was still going to be the head coach. It appears they have gotten that behind them now. Lonzo Ball, can't run or jump pain-free. So on the eve of training camp for Chicago, he's going in for a second surgery. And who knows what that means. That's scary when you have a surgery and you're like, yep, should be good to go. And then when it's time to go, you don't have any muscle or balance, no strength. So Lonzo Ball, worry about him with the Chicago Bulls. Maybe bigger worry for the U.S. men's soccer team, held 0-0 by a pretty good Saudi Arabia team in the final World Cup warm-up today. But this could end up being a complete and total disaster for the Americans as they get set for the World Cup in November. I know there have been big hopes and aspirations, and in some ways there's more talent on the team than ever, especially if you look at how many players are playing for big European clubs. Weston McKennie, DFW's own, one of them. But he and Pulisic and even Gio Reyna out there today, and I know they're being cautious and maybe taking players off a little bit early, but still, after losing to Japan 2-0 last week and then 0-0, maybe the only good that could come of this World Cup is it could make them blow up the leadership. I know a lot of people have not been happy with the manager, Greg Berhalter, saying he just got the job through nepotism. But that's a sobering moment there to fall 0-0. And now we get to hope anxiously that they can figure this out in training, Brian, over the next month.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, the fact that they just have not been able to score any goals. I mean, just the attacks, the buildups, it's just not there. They're not organized, it appears, when you watch these matches. And, you know, they, as you mentioned, blow up. You know, we host the game in 2026. You know, you do not want to be playing off your back foot.
No.
You don't want to have one of these bad campaigns in Qatar, and then all of a sudden now 4 years later there's questions about your side as you're getting ready as a host nation.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to figure these things out, because you know, for so long it seems like that, you know, the soccer, the talent in the United States, and even, you know, the players that we've been able to get through, you know, families that are military families, you know, but Germans that are, you know, oh, by American, by citizenships and things, you know, this team, it's just, soccer is at, I think it's at a crossroads right now when it comes to this American team.
It is, man. And
I mean, the women's team for so long been so good.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But for the men's team, we can't say that right now.
No. And for years, they didn't have nearly the talent, but they would build a scheme out of not having the most talented team. So they'd have Donovan and Dempsey, or Donovan or Dempsey, and try to play good defense and counterattack with a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And now we have more talent, but they're trying to grow their strategy, and it's really blowing up in our face to miss the World Cup last year and to not be appearing like they're going to be good enough to qualify for the knockout stage this year. That's tough.
That's a big setback.
Yeah,
it is.
That's a big setback.
Maybe we just need to go back to playing boring defensive soccer. I don't know what the situation is, but you're right. Heading into 2026, this should be about America's golden generation taking the next steps and actually making us internationally relevant. Instead, it's just sad.
It should be about the United States in 2026 as a host nation, you know, really host in North America, but in the United States is us being in more involved in these big matches, not just, you know, the group stage, but big matches going on, knockout matches and stuff like that.
Now we're just there to get a participation medal. That's what it feels like.
We feel like if that's the case, if we're going to play soccer like this, let's everybody just go out and buy another jersey for another team and, you know, and in another country and celebrate with them.
Okay, it is time now to catch up with our Cowboys insider. He is Bobby Bell, a must follow on Cowboys Twitter here. He's in the G-Bag Nation. Bobby, how the heck are you sitting here at 2-1?
Wonderful, never better. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing outstanding. What do you think was the two series we got out of Jason Peters last night? And where are we heading with this? Is he going to be a left guard? Is he going to be a right tackle? And how much better can this offensive line be with him?
You know, I think they're kind of going with the flow right now. I think left guard is definitely where they feel like they're most susceptible right now. And so that's why they wanted to give him a look there. And they have a lot of confidence in Tyler Smith to play left tackle. And so I think that's why he's getting worked in at left guard. But I mean, look, if Connor McGovern comes back healthy and then Terrence Steele happens to struggle, which Terrence Steele, I think, deserves credit for being a lot better the last 2 weeks than he was in week one. But if Terrence Steele starts to struggle or starts to regress, maybe then they go, okay, well, let's work him out here. But, you know, working primarily at left guard at this point, he did do some at right tackle during practice last week. We saw him out there getting some reps out there. And just talking to some folks, I know he's been getting work at both. But left guard is the primary focus for right now. Knew he was on a bit of a pitch count yesterday. Chiafalo and Broadus and I talked about that during the pregame show, that he would play, but it didn't sound like he was going to play a ton. But I thought it was good to see him out there when he was out there. You know, he was getting movement in the running game. He was showing a lot of power, able to anchor in pass protection. So, I mean, I'm excited about what this offensive line can look like with Jason Peters in there. Especially when you consider all that power that Tyler Smith has. That's a very powerful left side of the offensive line.
Bobby, you think they're playing him at left guard to help Tyler Smith along in these games?
Very well could be. Remember, we've talked about one of the reasons why you wouldn't want to move Zach Martin necessarily is because he can be there to help Tyler Biadasz on his left and, you know, Terrence Steele over on his right. And so it very well could be that it's just to give him some protection. I know that, man, Tyler Smith follows Jason Peters around like Chiafalo and Wolchuk followed you around at training camp, Brian. He's right in his hip pocket, and I think that's great for him. And Jason Peters is in his ear a lot. It's like Wolchuk pointed out earlier in the show how, you know, Jason Peters was, all right, time to strap up, Tyler. You got to get ready in case we got to go out there. And so I think it's good how much of a mentor he's been. And we've talked about that even if he never got on the field, I think that was something that they thought would be a benefit of signing him here, was just he was going to be here to be an extra player coach type for Tyler Smith. And I think it's had a good impact.
Bobby, so we were talking about Cooper Rush and Dak and moving forward, and you know I have no doubt that Dak gets his job back. But we had
do you? You have no doubt?
I have no doubt personally. Do you? You seem to maybe have a doubt.
I have no doubt. Okay. I know G-Bag Nation is the official show of kicking Dak Prescott in the gut, and so I gotta
I resent that remark, assume. Bobby. I'm a big fan.
He doesn't even have Bobby. A gut anymore. Did you see that six pack on ESPN last night?
Enjoy your last day on this program. Bobby.
I'm trolling. Come on. Just relax. Yeah, I did see Dak. I actually just sent Sean a video I saw on Facebook of somebody laughing at the fact that, like, why is Dak standing around the locker room with his shirt off like he just played four quarters, like in the locker room post game?
I was noticing that last night when I was watching Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt, and I was he's front row, shirtless, and he does seem like a guy that just played, but we know he didn't.
Look, Cooper Rush does enough. He's good enough, and that's all you really need from your backup quarterback. And look, I'd say he even does more than just enough in these three games that he's had to start over the last 2 years. So, you know, I still think this is Dak Prescott's job to get back. And even if he struggles, I don't think it's anything where, oh, okay, Cooper Rush is taking over now. But I do think, as we've discussed it, it probably makes the Cowboys start asking questions about, okay, why are we seeing success with Cooper Rush in there and not Dak Prescott? Not that Cooper Rush would then be the solution, but, okay, there's something off here because it's not a scheme or anything like that. We're winning games with Cooper Rush, so is there a question about this guy? But, I mean, I don't think that's going to be a question for them. First game back, does Dak show a little bit of rust? Possibly, but, you know, I think once he's two, three, four games back, I don't think it's going to be much of an issue or a discussion point.
So when is it going to be? I see this USA Today report with Reyes that, you know, probably not this week is what he told Lorenzo Reyes. But everywhere on TV, they're talking about Dak wants to play this week. What's really going on, Bobby?
I think Dak would try to convince you he could throw with his left hand and play against the Bengals in week two. Like, that's just Dak and the way that he approaches things. But, I don't think Washington is very likely. I don't think the Rams is very likely. I think the earliest you're looking at a possibility would be 16th against the Eagles, that would be the one where he could come back.
Wow. Okay, so let's say the Cowboys they win both these games, especially if they find a way to beat the Rams. This is just going to add more fuel to the Cooper Rush fire right now. You know, and last night I asked this to Brian during the post-game show, and you are a big Dak supporter. You always have been. What does Dak do that's better than Cooper Rush?
Everything. I mean, honestly, like I don't see anything that Cooper Rush does better. Do you guys? What do you think he does better than Dak?
Accuracy?
No, I don't think he's a more accurate quarterback. You guys, like not just y'all. I think there are way too many shots at Dak's accuracy. I think that he's had issues with it over the last year, or not even the last year. It was really after the calf strain that he started having a lot more issues with it. But I think it's always been way overblown. This is a guy who's generally, like, NFL Next Gen Stats had it as in 17, I believe 18 as well, that he had the most tight window throws, the highest tight window throw percentage in the NFL. Like, I mean, there's some point where we got to just say,
what does your eye test tell you, Bobby?
The eye test isn't, it's not up to me. The eye test is up to the coaching staff.
I'm asking you a question. What is your eye test?
I know, and I'm telling you, advanced analytics, the general counting number statistics, whatever else, and the eye test tells me he's good. I think that there's a lot of nitpicking about Dak Prescott because he's a $40 million quarterback, and it's what happens. There's a lot of people that have not been able to let go of the fact that he was a fourth round quarterback and the struggles they saw or the issues early on in his career. There's just a lot of nitpicking, I think, with him as a quarterback. But no, I don't think that there's, you can point to anything that Cooper Rush does and say he does it better than Dak Prescott.
The only thing that I would say is the last time we saw Dak on Sunday night versus Tampa, and then compared to what we saw Cooper Rush over these last two games, the decisiveness is clearly different. Like, I don't know if there's something wrong mentally with Dak right now, because there's clearly a lack of confidence and decisiveness, and he's not trusting what he sees. And sometimes the things that he is trusting when he sees it, it's like, that was the dumbest throw you could have possibly made. There's red jerseys, red Buccaneer jerseys everywhere. So I
very
think
hesitant.
You have to distinguish which Dak we're talking about, because the last Dak we saw, I don't think does much better than Cooper Rush.
But Cheech, what are we talking about when we say which Dak are we talking about? The Dak we've seen for 10 games or the Dak we saw for 4 years? Like, I mean, that's the question. Like,
well, I'm just wondering if there's something wrong with him now.
But a 10-game sample size, if we're talking about, like, you know, 4 years compared to 3 games from Cooper Rush, 10 games or whatever it's been from Dak Prescott, I think that it's an issue if he comes back and this continues on for several weeks, which is something that we've talked about.
Has the injuries robbed him of his ability to play this game?
No. The injuries last year seem to rattle his confidence in his own durability, I think, and that's why I think you saw the issues that he did, and it's a matter of if he comes back, if that still goes on. We just don't have that answer yet, but I don't think that's the case. We just won't know until he comes back and he plays for several weeks.
Do you feel like Cooper Rush has been helped by Kellen Moore more than Dak has over the last maybe 10 games?
No, I think Cooper Rush has been helped by the fact that defenses have played things a little bit softer, and I think the fact that it looks like to me, I mean, this is something that you can't always know, but it looks like to me they are running fewer option routes with Cooper Rush. There's less to read.
And maybe a little bit more play action?
Sure. Yeah, there's been a little bit more play action. And I mean, you know, the running game's been really good the last couple weeks. And look, Cooper Rush, you know, he's played well. And there have been times where even the receivers have hurt him. Jalen Tolbert didn't help him last night with a drop. CeeDee Lamb didn't help him last night with a drop. And so, I mean, it could be even better than it's looked. I think he's been good, but I mean, there's nothing to me that says Cooper Rush. It's not even just Dak is a better player than Cooper Rush. I don't think there's anything really in particular at the quarterback position he does better than Dak.
I don't think after watching the last couple of games. Now, we have a very limited sample size against non-playoff teams for Cooper Rush. The last two for Dak have been against very good defenses, but I think it's undeniable at this point that Cooper Rush hits the player in stride quite a bit better. And in a league that requires yards after catch to be a good offense, I think that's a pretty big one.
See, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I'd say he hits them in stride better. I don't think that's the case. I think that Dak has done a really good job hitting guys in stride over the course of his career. Has it been good the last year or so since the calf strain and everything else that happened? No. But again, I think that it's important to put it in that context. These are the same discussions we had in the first half of 2018. It was the same sort of timeline from the second half of 2017 into 2018. And everybody was talking about, you know, here, fan base, the analysts, everybody else was talking about, Dak's kind of always going to be who he's going to be. And then he comes out there and he kicks ass in the second half of 2018. He goes out in 2019 and is one of the only reasons that you were competitive down the stretch. He comes out in 2020 and is the only reason they were competitive at all in those first 5 games before he gets hurt. And then the first half of last year, we're talking about him as an MVP candidate. So I just think it's silly, these ebbs and flows that we go through where we go, is this it for Dak? It's like everybody's just waiting there, kind of rubbing their hands together, wanting it, and I don't understand it.
I did not want him.
There's a lot of people out there like you that believe everything that you're selling right now.
And I promise you, I did not want Dak to suck as bad as he did versus Tampa. I didn't either.
I don't mean you guys. I just mean there have been a lot of people in the fan base in particular who have never been able to get over the fact that he took Tony Romo's job. And they have for 6 years been sitting there waiting for moments for him to drop. They did that all that rookie year. Remember the Giants game? He went 10 weeks in a row where you know, he couldn't do anything wrong, and then he loses the game to the Giants. It's like, this is why you have to put Romo back in. It's like, really? Like, 10 weeks compared to 1 week? That's why you got to put Romo back in? And that's been what he's fought his entire career with this fan base that doesn't want him to have the job, is that he shows good play for extended periods of time. There's a small sample size where it goes south, like it does for any quarterback, like it did for Patrick Mahomes last year. And then people jump on and go, oh, there it is. There it is. We can't afford to waste any time. We got to take him out.
You know, on some of these teams where you say Dak's the only reason they've had success, it's difficult for me to reconcile that as I watch Cooper Rush come into his team and go 3-0. You know, like, where is Dak giving you the value added? Where it's,
I mean,
we're not beating quality teams. We're not winning playoff games. Cooper Rush can get you to the playoffs with this group. I would say it's a pretty good supporting cast.
Cooper Rush stepped in last year against Minnesota, right, and wins that game. But that's also a team that had gone 5-1, 6-1 or whatever it was leading up to it. And everybody was talking about how Dallas was one of the better teams in the NFL. And so that one, he didn't step in and do anything different. And then this year, I mean, we saw Tampa Bay. Everybody was bad against Tampa Bay. Dak was bad. There's no doubt about it. It was one of the worst games we've seen him play.
Play car was bad too. Yeah,
everybody was bad against Tampa.
Rodgers was bad on Sunday against Tampa.
Yeah, we're seeing some offenses be bad.
Everybody was bad against Tampa, and I think that's the thing where it's like, yeah, Cooper Rush has stepped in. And look, I don't think you can say the offense has been great under Cooper Rush.
Agreed.
It's been good enough. But I mean, honestly, this is a defense that's held three straight teams under 20 points. That's mm-hmm. going to win you a lot of football games. I sent you guys, I sent a bunch of people this article. I sent all the hosts this article a few minutes ago that NFL did a whole thing that scoring is down. It's a 10-year yeah. low for scoring in the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. So, I mean, offenses are struggling, and the Cowboys are still kind of finding their way. CeeDee Lamb's been inconsistent, finding his way. I just think that need to tap the brakes a little bit on this. Well, is Dak going to be the guy? Because it feels like there's just been a lot of waiting around constantly for the last 6 years of waiting for the window to ask, well, is Dak the guy? Because we see him go extended periods where it's very clear he's the guy, he's the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but this is the first time where maybe the mechanics are altered by the real catastrophic injury that no quarterback has ever come back from. And he's not running either, you know? So there's two like significant factors for who he is now that maybe he wasn't early in his career.
He showed more mobility in training camp. I just don't think we've gotten a chance. That's what we saw last year, but we haven't gotten a chance to see it. He ran against Tampa, and he was running in training camp. So I don't know that it's undetermined. We haven't been able to see it yet. He got knocked out before the end of the first game. Like give him a couple weeks, I think, before
absolutely.
We can say that definitively.
So, I mean, what's the conversation sound like if he plays against the Rams and Eagles and they lose? I mean, I know this is going to torment you, Bobby.
Like I say, it's not just I think that you need to expect rust for anybody coming off an injury for the first week. I think we got to look at, we can't be looking at it game by game. I don't think we can take, you know, broad 17 week takes off of individual weeks. I think you got to look at and see, okay, what does he do over the course of three games when he returns? If it's bad 1 week, all right, I would expect the next week he's coming back and the rust will be knocked off. But if it's bad, yeah, 2-3 weeks in a row where it doesn't look as good as it did with Cooper Rush, that's where you start going, okay, there's a problem here. We got to address it. And if those problems are there, you don't just, you know, hold and hope. You know, I think that you need to be decisive with whatever action you take at that point. But I think I think assuming that he's going to come back and he's just this way now, I think that would be a dangerous thing to assume.
Very good, Bob. Appreciate your insights as always. We'll talk about some of the other topics with you tomorrow.
I love you all.
There he goes. He's Bobby Bell. A must follow on Cowboys Twitter. Good spirited conversation there with Bobby. Enjoyed that.
He's prepared. He's got it together there.
What an idiot. We're prepared for TD Tuesday at 6 o'clock. We're prepared for a college football super segment coming up at 6:20. But right now, it is time to go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius is standing by with LA Live.
Wow, that was a hell of a lead in there, Bobby. I wanted to play the Superman sound effect for him, but I didn't want to start anything, you know what I mean? Y'all be careful with those Porsches out there. A lot of celebrities are getting like in accidents in those Porsches. Remember Paul Walker passing a Porsche?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Grace Kelly was a Porsche, really? I think. Yeah. Yeah, you just got to be a little careful out there. James Dean was a Porsche.
James Dean was a Porsche spider.
Yeah, see? I got some randos for you guys right after Rick. Hold on.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Everybody get high. LA Friday Live for September 27th, 2022. I got a question for the Tolos. Tolo is a turn it on, leave it on listener right there for you that do not know. What's considered trashy if you're poor, but classy if you're rich? Classy if you're rich, trashy if you're poor.
We got a riddle. We got a riddle.
Well, kind of. You know, I mean, Yeah. Let's see. I got some examples for you to get your mind going. Someone's saying being unemployed.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
If you got the bag, it's no problem.
Yeah. I like that. It's hella classy. I would say mobile home, because if you're poor, it's not ideal. But if you're rich, you probably got one on your dear lease.
Yeah, exactly. I feel you, bro. I like that one. Getting money from the government.
Ooh. Yeah.
Someone said Florida.
Hey, you're on a roll.
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's see. Robbing poor people.
I see what you're doing now.
Someone said Crocs.
Whoa.
Trashy if you're poor, but classy if you're rich. Crocs.
972 holes in clothes.
Trashy look going.
469 cocaine.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Someone said alcoholism. Yeah, for sure. Other people raising your kids for you. Yeah. Multiple cars in front of your home.
That's good.
Yeah, so if you see anything out there on the Fantex guys, for real. Read it to me, okay?
All right, we got you.
All right, thank you very much.
We've been real consistent about that, haven't we?
Awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Holes in clothes?
Yeah.
Day drinking, good old Darty.
Yes, yes.
The name Meredith.
Hilarious. G, back in the day, we do it every day at 2:30 here on The Fan. If you see anything out there on the social media webs, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. All right. Our winner is Pastor Michael Irvin. He was on First Take this morning preaching the gospel of the Cowboys defense and CeeDee Lamb.
What you looking at on that defensive line is something. Finger licking good special. That's what I'm talking about. All five days of D coming rushing and just getting it a quarterback. It's finger licking good special, and we can get somewhere with that. I'm going to tell you this, too. I have been hurting because I have been having to tell the truth about how great Philadelphia look. And they do look great. And I said, there is no chance. But with that finger licking, pass rush, we do got a chance. We'll get a chance to get to Philly because we got that finger licking pass rush that is so good. And a pass rush can stop everything. Now, we should talk about CeeDee Lamb. Did you know the number 8 stands for new beginning? That's why 88 is so special. God knows I needed so many new beginners. And 88s can take a new beginning. The Bible talks about men like this. They call them mighty men of valor. You might mess up, but you will do everything you have to do to make your mess up right. And that's what CeeDee Lamb did last night. He did everything he needed to do to make his mess up right. Yes, I dropped a big pass, but I came back and I had a CeeDee Lamb drive. You want to talk about a playmaker? That's a playmaker. He made the plays. And then the one-handed stab for the grab of the touchdown on the go-ahead. Oh. It's what playmakers do.
The one-handed stab for the grab.
Man, he was on a roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we're like witnessing the prime portion of his media career. Like he's really like everything's clicking at one time right now.
He's the monster.
And he's just at the height of his power.
Yeah, he's the monster. He's like having Dr. Dre on the track. You're going to go gold. At least, for sure. Yeah, he even reacted right after the game. He was working out, it looked like. Oh, late night workout. Sweating like a fool. He said, let me go ahead and go live and tell y'all how I feel about this win.
Hey, you see that? We did it again. I don't know how it happened, but we have done it again. We have stolen another one. I want us to understand this, Stephen A. Here goes the new slogan. It's as a backup. In rush, we trust. As a backup, in rush, we trust. As our backup of America's team, in rush, we trust.
Oh, my God.
Wow. He had to hit you 3 times with the as a backup just to make sure it was
just
very,
to make
very
sure,
clear.
Just to make sure, because people will run with it.
That's right.
Yeah, Mike said he's the man. Russ, we trust.
Lucius, the 254 says NASCAR. Brian, we all know that is so true, right?
Very true.
There's 2 different worlds going on to that track.
Very true.
There's the silver spoon and
yeah, yeah. You're
that
not
is
wrong.
Hysterical.
The silver cans.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Let's see. I got some facts on deck for you fellas right here. Let's get some knowledge.
I didn't want to say it.
An overly active sex drive can be a symptom of rabies.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that might need to get checked.
Yeah, you hook up. You know, she might be sick, actually, bro, so take it easy.
Check to see if she's foaming at the mouth.
And you're probably going to wait till afterwards, too, because you're selfish.
Yeah. You're selfish.
We're going to have to get you to the vet after this, honey.
I'm here to check now. Sorry, Dad.
Fish can suffer from depression.
Yeah, when I set the hook on them, yeah.
I was going to say when they get placed in one of those like little glass boxes and say, there's your new home. It'd be depressing.
Yeah, I'd
it's my fish in a box.
Harambe's sperm was collected shortly after he died so his genes could possibly live on.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a good move.
So how does that work? Who has the job of going to the dead animal and having to complete the mission?
I know they had to pull
the
straws for sure. For sure they had to pull the straws.
That's surgical, right?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, of course it's surgical.
Yeah.
Just put a glove on.
There's a veterinarian intern.
It's alive.
Bobby, get in here.
That'll bring you back to life right there.
You're right. Bobby would do it.
If it was Dak, he'd definitely do it. I got you, dog. Older siblings tend to have higher IQs.
That's not true.
It is.
Oh, no. Believe my little
brother. Not true at all.
Definitely true.
It's all lies.
All lies on this team.
The Tetris effect occurs when you focus on something so much, you begin to see its patterns in your thoughts and dreams. Or psilocybin, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Tetris effect. Okay.
The Tetris effect.
Man, I used to play Tetris. When my high school bleeped up and gave us all these little laptop things.
The T89 calculators?
Oh, well, the T89s. Okay. Those were strong. But we got these little mini laptops, these little mini Dell laptops.
Oh, word.
And it was, it was Tetris all day. And
like
it took
abacus.
Them. It wasn't until my senior year that they figured out how to, like, block all these game things. So for 3 years, we were just mowing through Tetris and all sorts of fun
that's
games.
That's great. I got teachers back. That's well established here on this broadcast, I believe. You can't let your kids have devices like that. They have ways of hiding the windows, and as soon as you walk away, they just bring it back up. They're playing Roblox.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tetris.
Sorry, I had to cough. Let's see. Saying the F word when you're in pain can boost your pain tolerance by as much as 33%.
Yeah, see?
That's a fact.
That is true.
I'm trying to tell my girls, when you get hurt, just get mad at it. There's no rule that says you have to cry. Crying ain't going to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cuss at it. Get mad at it. Do whatever you need, but don't be crying like a baby.
Lucius, is that usually the first word out of your mouth in the ice bucket thing when you put that ankle
in? Yeah. Carter's usually in here.
You start with that word and work from there. Right?
Followed by a me.
Carter's usually in here and he looks at me kind of scared. Like, I'm not going to do anything to you, bro. Penis enlargement surgeries are free in Cuba.
Ooh, do tell.
So
my dad's going on a trip to Cuba next month, and it's all starting to add up.
I'm Cuban, B. Yeah, watch those Cubans. They might be capping if there's a penis surgery out there.
Yeah, I don't think I'd accept that one.
Yeah.
Sounds a little faulty.
It's quite a move from the dictator.
There we go. Speaking of pee and stuff, I pee in airplane bathrooms, right? I confess that.
Oh, in the sink.
In the sink.
Wait, what is going on?
The airplane bathroom sink.
Yeah, why?
Because it's right there at your waist. I pee in a lot of sinks, in fact. It's right there at your waist.
What about our sink?
What was the last sink you peed
in? Nah, I can't because people will walk in on that joint. I go to the women's restroom here.
And pee in their sink.
No. I poo with my feet up so you can't see me.
Wait, we got a size 12 in here?
What the hell? Is somebody in here? I can't see anyone.
Yeah. There was an Atlanta rapper. His name is Mercedes New. He's arrested for routinely tinkling on people off to his high-rise balcony. We go to WSB-TV Action News Atlanta 2. People like got so concerned about it that they even started walking around with umbrellas. Listen to this.
Mercedes New, the Atlanta rapper known as Shorty Dredd, is accused of being nude and relieving himself from a balcony way up there. People here said he did it so often they thought about using an umbrella to cover themselves when they walked in this area.
Bro.
I was right here when New was arrested. He told me he did nothing wrong.
I'm innocent. I promise I didn't do this.
People who work and walk in the area say for weeks a man routinely walked out of a high-rise unit at the Icon Midtown Apartments with not a stitch of clothes on. They say he then relieves himself through the balcony bars with his bodily fluids falling down below.
Who's that in the video? I didn't see no... I promise I wasn't in the...
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, so like
this sounds like a Chappelle skit.
He has an awful defense. No, that wasn't me. I promise it wasn't me.
Shaggy defense.
Yeah. I think the newsman needs to be more clear here about what is happening because he's just saying relieving himself. There's a multitude of different things that could be the case here. Why can't you just say he's peeing off the balcony? Because now we're thinking
this could be all types of things.
This could be way worse.
Yeah. We need truth in broadcasting.
Takes a lot of focus right there.
Be journalistically integritous.
There you go.
Yeah. I got another peace story for you before we get out of here.
Sweet.
There's a man. He had an apparent 48-year grudge with his ex-wife.
She peed on her face?
He goes to her grave every day almost and pees at the grave. Yeah, the kids caught him.
The kids caught him?
Yeah, the kids caught him.
He went to visit mom.
Really
they're like, Dad, what are you doing? Yeah.
That's not his. Now, the kids, that's not their father. That's just a man that the mom married once, put his stepdad, basically.
Oh,
and then they divorced and they had a really bad, messy divorce. So now he just comes back with his new wife and pees on the old wife's grave.
It all started back in April when Murphy and his sister started finding deli bags filled with feces near their mother's headstone.
Bro.
They initially thought it may have been left behind by a careless dog walker or dog owner. But after the second bag was found, they knew they'd been left there intentionally. Camera timestamps showed the man coming to the grave with his wife waiting in the car around 6:15 in the morning for four consecutive days last week.
She's a rider.
On the fifth day, Murphy propped his camera on a nearby headstone and shot this video and confirmed the culprit was his deceased mother's ex-husband, who she divorced over 4 decades ago.
4 decades ago?
Just, must have been a long child support schedule.
Just crapping in the cold cuts bag?
Weird. Oh, in the cold cuts bag.
Yeah, literally.
All right, folks, that's my time. I'm out of here, man. I got to go.
Lucius Alexander, LA Live, every night about 5:40.
Y'all get back to arguing about Dak and everything.
What the hell? This accuracy thing really ticked me off.
He's accurate, man. Can't you see it in his numbers?
The strides.
You see his completion percentage?
Really good.
It's accuracy, man.
The guy peeing off the balcony is accurate.
I'm trying to go crap in a deli bag.
All right, we got TD Tuesday coming
Breaking
up, though.
The law.
A celebration of everything that was amazing from week 3 of your NFL season.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.